Come on.
Welcome to Lifeblood. This is George G, and the time is right. Welcome today's guest, strong and powerful Christopher Gutteisen. Christopher, are you ready to do this?
Absolutely. Great to be with you, George.
Excited to have you on. Christopher is the CEO of Nova Minerals. They're an Australian minerals explorer and developer that focuses on gold and lithium projects all around the world. Christopher, tell us a little bit about your personal life, some more about your work, and why you do what you do.
Yeah, I'm an economic geologist, and so I'm from Alaska here, which is right where our flagship Estelle Gold Project is for Nova Minerals. And I started my career up here working, and then I traipsed all around the world doing this work. You know, when I started to get into this work, went to school for this. I remember my professor, Geology 101, said, "Welcome to Geology 101. This is your passport to the world," and it certainly has been. I've been to Nevada, working with some of these very large bulk mineable type resources, Newmont, Barrick, in the Nevada goldfields. Spent a lot of time in Australia, mainly the Western Australian goldfields, reborn and rebred in Kalgoorlie, Western Australia, on a number of projects in the gold space, nickel, all these kind of things. Then I spent a lot of time in Southeast Asia, in Indonesia, working on big copper gold porphyry type deposits. Spent a lot of time in Laos, Thailand. Actually, my wife's from Laos, right? So my heart was stolen in Laos, and that's where I met my wife. I spent about 12 years over there in that part of the world, Laos, Thailand. But now I've come full circle, and so my niche and my specialty is really becoming taking resource stage projects, so something that's kind of in the middle stages of advancement, and bringing them into production. And that's exactly what we're trying to achieve here with the Estelle Gold Project. What we have here, so we're in the Tintina Gold Province. This has been one of the most prolific belts in recent times, over 220 million ounces of documented discoveries and production. This is where the old, all the historic gold rushes were, the Klondike and all these things that we've all heard about. And now we know where all that gold came from. And it's one of the last frontiers for absolute, behemoth-sized deposits. And that's what we're on to. We currently have 6.2 million ounces at the Estelle Gold Project. And that's only set to grow, right? So we're coming out with another resource update here in the next few weeks. And, we're on the road to 10 million ounces there, which is 10 million ounce plus deposits are not uncommon in our neighborhood here. And that's what we have at the Estelle Gold Project. Now, I'm only talking about one deposit, the Corbel deposit. We have 15 other known prospects across our 324 square kilometer claim block, with the next cab off the rank being the RPM prospect. And so, anybody interested in the gold space, I think with all the economic turmoil and things that are happening, you got Evergrande, you've heard this on this side of the pond over here, collapsing, real estate collapse, and whatever's going on in China and in our part of the world, all kinds of craziness going on, debt defaults and inflation now here is coming along. Also, I think the fiat currency regime in the world is coming to an end. These things only last, if you look at history, these things only last 50 years, and then there's a new monetary system comes about. And so I think we're at that stage now, and I think hard assets is where you want to be. And one of those, of course, has been going on for 5,000 years, is real money, which is gold. And there's a number of ways to get into gold, and one of those is certainly through mining stocks like Nova Minerals, which is, on the OTC here in America, NVAAF is the ticker code. Also, we're listed on the ASX as our primary exchange, NVA, and also in Frankfurt, QM3 is the code there.
Nice. So fascinated by mining, and you obviously are too. So it's good that we're talking. How did you decide that this is now resource stage is the place I want to be? Because is it a function of opportunity where you know that there's gold in the ground, and now with new technology we can access it better than they could before, and it'll be quicker? Tell me a little bit about that.
Absolutely. In terms of technology, that's a good point. So the reason I like resource stage is because it gives, it's a bit of a sense of accomplishment to actually have created something that's creating wealth for, you know, just the stakeholders. Our base is just so, you know, it's not just shareholders in the company. It's all the employees. It's you know, our three pillars for development with Nova Minerals are really, you know, responsible development, aggressive growth, and locally sourced. Those are kind of our three pillars. And so those are kind of all the stakeholders involved, the local economy. And I've seen it a number of times just right around the mining operations, plus, you know, all the taxes and royalties you pay, and all the follow-on businesses. For every dollar that you make and you spend, of course, that just flows through the economy. So it's just been a sense of accomplishment for myself, you know, personal. At the end of the day, you want to have something to show for it. In the early day exploration space, you know, that's kind of you'll find in that space, it's more of the players there. It's a very lots of players there. It's more of kind of like you get a lot of lifestyle people. They're in and out. Whereas I like to build things, right? I'm a builder. So that it's just personal satisfaction in that way. But now in terms of technology, you know, mining's come a long way in recent times. Look around your desk. Look around you, George. You know, there's a great bumper sticker. It's if you can't grow it, you got to mine it. Literally everything around you, your keyboard, your plastics, that's all oil. Your paper comes, of course, that's been grown. That's, of course, your trees, you know, all the metals, everything has to be mined. Mining is never going anywhere. And in fact, with this, you know, green revolution, they call it, there's going to be more mining. A lot of people don't realize you need lithium, you need silver, you need copper, you need cobalt, all these things for the green energy revolution. And so, you know, people need to realize that there's going to be more mining if we actually want to achieve those goals, right? And that's where the response, so the mining's not going anywhere, and that's where responsible development comes in, which is what we do. A lot of people envision mining like the old days, like you saw on TV, a couple of guys with headlamps rooting around, little veins and this and that. Yeah. Absolutely, you know, it's not like that anymore. Nowadays, so what we do is we're looking at open pit, so right on the surface. And a lot of this stuff, the technology is such that you don't even have to see the gold anymore, right? You don't even see the gold. So the gold can occur at such low concentrations, or many minerals, such low concentrations, you don't even see it anymore. And with the processing technology, you're able to take so a ton of rock. So imagine like a yard by a yard cube rock. There might only be a few specks, few grains of sand of gold, few grains of gold inside that ton. That's economic nowadays because of the processing technology to be able to extract that gold. A lot of mines are run remotely. You know, you have guys sitting on joysticks in front of a computer somewhere, especially in the underground realm there, where they're just doing everything by remote control. And so there's all these technologies that have come about in terms of processing the actual mining process that make the economics so much different than the old days, where you actually had to see the gold. You know, a couple of guys with hammers and a little with like a little rail line, the stuff you've seen on TV, it's not really like that nowadays. And that technology has also gone to environmental and responsible development, to the environmental side. All these things can be controlled, and they're very, very highly engineered to be able to absolutely be environmentally responsible, for sure.
Nice. I appreciate that. So this is a... It's one of those honest questions, Christopher. So you're in Alaska, and I don't know what the climate is. Is it make it difficult when it snows?
You know, that's actually a good question. So, yes, it's cold. But if you're from Alaska, you know, you get acclimated,
sure.
Right, George? So we work in the middle of winter. So when on the onset of winter, which is right now, you know, it's -5 today, right? And it's cold now, but when you get into the middle, you feel cold, your body, right? But when you get into the middle of winter and you're working for a week at -30, when it goes up to -10, George, people are taking their jackets off. You're literally working in your t-shirts, right? It's totally true. So you just get acclimated to it. And in many ways, it's easier to operate in the winter. Like we're going into that season now. This is when we create a lot of snow roads and winter roads and winter trails. You know, you might have seen it on TV, ice road truckers and these kind of things, right? This is how we access the site in the winter and bring in all our heavy equipment and our drilling rigs and this and that. And you can just float over the snow. So in terms of access, it's a lot different. We can get into areas in the wintertime that we have to helicopter into in the summertime, right? And so in terms of access, and we're in a remote area, it's much better. But of course, the weather is a lot colder, so it's not for the faint of heart, you know. Like they say in Alaska, you know, where the men are men and so are the women, right? So, so here we are, right? So there's pluses and minuses, as you imagine, with every season.
Yeah.
The most difficult season is actually breakup, right? So that's that kind of April to May area when everything's just slushy and muddy and everything gets bogged down. And I would say that's the most difficult season in terms of just the terrain, the ground conditions.
Interesting. Well, it certainly makes sense. All right, so we've got all this wonderful new technology that affords resource stage miners like you and Nova to go and you say, okay, we know that there's gold here, and with new technology, we don't have to actually visually see the stuff. We can just carve out huge chunks of rock and then process it and get the valuable minerals, the gold, the lithium, all that stuff out of it. But how do you decide, because obviously all this new technology costs money, so how do you look at the spots that you have and then make a decision on here's where we're going to actually mine?
Right. So the process is, so you have the exploration guys go in and they'll look at it, 30,000 foot view, look at regional maps, you know, with the, you say in Alaska, you have the USGS, you know, the U.S. Geological Service. There's government databases and they do surveys, geophysics, magnetic surveys, and you get boots on the ground. And so you say, okay, you know, geologically, these look like favorable rocks here. So in our case, there's these, intrusions, kind of granite intrusions that come up. And when you get that, you get a lot of hydrothermal fluids that occur with intrusions, and you go out and you get the geologists on the ground mapping. And so you say, okay, this is a favorable regional terrain, and you might stake your claims then. And then you come in and you say, like, all right, let's do a regional sampling program. So you might, in our situation, it's mountainous, so you do ridge and spur sampling. So you just go up on the ridges and take samples every so often, a certain distance along all the ridges. And you might go into the streams and take stream sediment samples. And these kind of things, based on that, you then send all those to the lab, you get your results back, and you create a map, and you can see where the higher grade areas are and kind of the higher grade anomalous zones. And so then based on that, you might also do some ground geophysics. You know, one of the things that we use is IP chargeability, which is the best targeting tool. And that's basically, you know, put it simply in layman's terms, you're shooting an electric current in the ground, and you're looking at how chargeable is the ground in that area. And with the sulfides, you know, things like pyrite and these type of minerals, it'll hold a charge a bit longer. And so you'll get anomalies like that. And that correlates many times directly with gold. And so now you have samples on the surface, you have some geophysics, and you might, and so that, now you're ready to target, to put in a drill hole. You just go for it, right? You just go for it based on the best available data that you have at the time. And you drill, and in our case, yeah, we've hit it there. So, and now you basically just follow that up every year. And so this process takes not only money, but lots of time, right? Lots of time. And so we've been extremely lucky that we're so well endowed with gold. It seems that we've managed to come from 2.5 million ounces in 2019, and we've managed to increase that resource at our Corbel deposit to now currently 4.7 million ounces. And so you drill holes, lots of holes, you know, hundreds and thousands of feet of drill holes, and you send those off to the lab, and you get your results back. And now, whether it's economic or not, and this is the stage we're going into now, you then go through a scoping study, and you look at all kinds of parameters, right? You look at what's the mining cost, what's the processing cost, what is your process flow sheet? You know, you can find a lot of gold, George. A lot of people find a lot of gold, but can you get the gold out of the rock, right? This is where processing technology comes in. And so can you get gold out of the rock? And so in our case, we have a relatively bulk mineable but relatively low-grade deposit. How can we make money at that? The way we do that, if you look at our flow sheet, is that we take it in the first step, and we do all the test work to decide this, but our first step is we do something called ore sorting. And so ore sorting technology has been around for a long time. We put the rock in, And because we have very discreet veins and very distinct mineralogy in those veins, you know, quartz and arsenopyrite, that the ore sorters using the laser technology are able to separate out that high grade material out of the host rock. And so that's a concentration step. So we're able to take 0.3 gram material and upgrade it up to 6 grams per ton. But, you know, when you calibrate it and you want to capture most of the gold, we're looking at putting in 0.3 gram material mined and then put it in the ore sorter and get about 2 grams per ton out of the ore sorter. Then at that stage, you mill it. So you put it into a ball mill and bring it down to a very fine powder. And then in our case, you put it into flotation tanks. So, you know, you froth it up and certain minerals rise to the surface, certain minerals fall. This is another concentration step. And then at the end, you have a concentrate, a very high grade material. You basically concentrated all the gold. Then we take that and we leach it. And we get in this process through our plant, we get, you know, 95% recovery of all the gold. And then we're very lucky, you know, we're talking about environmental, that our host rock is non-acid generating. So it's just your standard granite. So we can use that material to build our roads, to build any, to build our plant, any kind of infrastructure that we require. And it's just a neutral rock type. So there's no acid generating material. Anything that might be acid generating will then go to our tailings facility, which will all be then contained, right? Contained. And so that's kind of how it kind of works. So like that's kind of the process from start to finish.
I love it. So y'all are setting up your own processing plant facility, or are there existing that you use?
We're in a new area, right? So it's kind of virgin country out there. There's nothing around where we are. The closest one would probably be a few hundred miles away. You know, that's just a stone's throw away in Alaska. But sure. No, there's nothing around where we are. It's a new area. It's not too far from Anchorage, so it's about, you know, Anchorage is the main town here in Alaska, and we're about 100 miles as the crow flies from Anchorage out there. And so, yeah, we would set up our own processing facility, but that's still a ways out. That's about, we're looking at 2025, 2026, to about actually be digging up the first dirt and pouring the first gold. We have a long way to go in that process, more drilling, more studies, more test work to decide, really optimize things to decide what that looks like. It's certainly a fast track in this game, but you can see there, you know, 2019 to 2025, 2026, you know, you're talking about, what is that? 8 years, and that's a fast track for these type of projects. And so, no, we don't have it yet, but we will have our own processing plant eventually. Yes.
Nice. What a fascinating process.
Yes, absolutely. It's there's never a dull moment. I'll tell you what. You know, and if some of your listeners have just in the whole geology and mining game, if your listeners have any kids, you know, and people are looking for career paths. This is, I described my journey and just the adventure. You go to places that, not just off the beaten track, but you go to places where there are no tracks. You know, nobody's ever been. I've never looked back with any regrets taking this career path. And, so if you have any young people out there that are looking for interesting jobs where you have a good mix of being able to be outside, as well as, you know, there's a lot of modeling technology, and you can spend a lot of time inside. I always enjoyed that in my career. I could always go like, all right, I'm going outside this week because there's stuff to do. Or the next week going like, I'm going to stay inside because there's stuff to do here. And so it's just great in that way. You know, there's like economic geology, there's mining engineering, there's metallurgy, there's process engineers, all these type of career paths that people should really look at and consider as a really fun, adventurous, and it doesn't pay too shabby either, right? So if people are into that, you know, have a second look. The industry is aching for people, so I'll just throw that out there as well.
I love it. Wonderful. Well, Christopher, thank you so much for coming on. Where can people learn more about you, and how can they get involved with Nova Minerals?
Right. So Nova Minerals is the company we have. Just go to novaminerals.com.au. Don't forget that .au at the end. NVAAF is the ticker on the OTC, NVA on the ASX, QM3 in Frankfurt. And just tune in, you know, type us into YouTube. I do a number of interviews every now and then, and go to our website. All the information is there. You know, we didn't mention Also, we also have a lithium project, but we're spinning that off into a separate company. It's days away from listing, and that's Snow Lake Resources. And that'll be the only, first and only, zero carbon hard rock spodumene lithium mine in the world. And the main reason for that is because it's located in Manitoba, Canada, and it's all hydropower there. And so the lithium space is hot. And we think this is going to be a great IPO and create, which majority owned by Nova Minerals. And once it's listed, we think it's going to add some serious value back to Nova. So it's novaminerals.com.au and snowlakelithium.com. And those are the two companies. And just start typing it into Google, you know, Google it. That's the easiest way.
Put it into the Google machine. Love it.
There's also, I don't personally run them, but my fellow director, Louis, he's got the Twitters and the LinkedIn, I think it's called. I don't know. I don't do these things. I don't know.
The other social medias. Love it. Okay. Well, if you enjoyed this much as I did, show Christopher your appreciation and share today's show with a friend who also appreciates good ideas. Go to novaminerals.com.au. Go to snowlakelithium.com as well. And check out the first zero carbon hard rock Strogamine or something or other.
Spodumene. That's the good stuff. That's what you're after.
Spodumene project that is out there. I love it. Thanks again, Christopher.
Thanks for having us, George, and let's do it again sometime.
And until next time, keep fighting the good fight. We are all in this together.